So what do you do when friends that make more than you expect you to go along on what are often expensive nights out? Joining us is Karen Mizgala, CEO of Money Coaches Canada. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
It would seem to me that the obvious answer would be, I'm afraid I can't go there, but a lot of people are reluctant to say that.
Absolutely. It certainly would be the logical thing to do if it's going to put you under financial duress, but I think that for most of us, we feel embarrassed. We feel ashamed. We feel like we're not being able to keep up with our friends and not being able to have fun. So we often go along, spend money spontaneously, and regret it later.
Really regret it later.
What else can you do?
Well, I think there's a number of options. I mean, one of them is just to have an open and honest conversation with your friend and say, I'm not a fan of saying I can't afford to do these things. I would prefer to say I'm looking at my values. I'm looking at what's important to me, and I have other things that I want to spend my money on. Why don't we do something else? Why don't we meet for a walk? Why don't we meet for coffee? Why don't you come over to my place and we'll make dinner together?
I guess if you have some friends that move in a certain circle and you aren't able to, it really makes it difficult in terms of deciding what you're going to be able to be a part of with those friends.
You bet. We really do have to make hard choices, I think, in our life and in our society where, you know, there is a lot of emphasis on being valued for and success being benchmarked by how much we make, how much we spend. So these are not easy conversations to have. They're not easy conversations to have with ourselves either. That sense of, you know, what's enough, what are my priorities, and actually having to make hard choices. So I think that it is difficult. We do want to have fun. We do want to hang with our friends. But it really does mean that we have to take that step back and say, what's going to be good for me now and what's going to be good for me in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And this can happen at all different stages of your life, because I can think of times way back when, just starting out in this business and you're making squat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really...
If that.
And yeah, you just couldn't go out with your friends to spend a lot of money. Maybe your friends are still living at home. You're not. You're paying rent and you have these fixed costs. So there's that. Then when you get a little older and you get married, maybe you buy a house and your money goes to a mortgage. Then you have kids and the kids are playing sports. And so your money goes places and you just don't have the same funds available to go out and have fun. Whereas maybe some of your friends have lots of money and can do that.
They might or they might not. Just because they're spending the money doesn't necessarily mean they have it. And I think that's one of the issues in our society is that, you know, we're so debt-ridden as far as, as Canadians. And, you know, part of that is because we're unconscious as far as what we're spending. And life is expensive. And keeping up is expensive. And the expectations of what we should have and should be doing are very high for all of us. And as a result, what happens is there just is unconsciousness around where our money goes, and we end up getting the big wake-up calls and the debt hangovers where, you know, we're having a good time now, we're charging things up to our credit card, and then we, you know, open up our statements the following month and think, oh, my God. So we go through this cycle of just kind of denial, avoidance, and then into sort of shame, anxiety, and stress. And so it's just this vicious cycle that really gets magnified by what we actually think other people are able to do that we're not able to do. And there's just a lot of falseness that surrounds money, and we don't talk about it. I mean, it still tends to be one of these real taboo topics that we're just not willing to be honest about. And, you know, we don't talk about what we make. We don't talk about what our mortgages are. And so there's just a lot of false assumptions that are driving our behavior and really creating a lot of stress for ourselves.
Karen Mizgala is on the line with us. She's CEO of Money Coaches Canada.
So they could be living way beyond their means and they're dragging you right down with them because you're trying to keep up. That's sad.
Well, that's just the reality. And so, you know, I really think that if we all can take personal responsibility to stop the madness, that if we're willing, and I'm not suggesting this is easy, to be the one that says, hey, this is not going to work for me, let's do something different. I don't want to spend my money this way. Let's make some other choices. You know, what you may inadvertently be doing is actually actually creating an opportunity for, you know, your friends and family to take a step back and to take more ownership and more responsibility and to create a plan for themselves that, that considers the here and now, but also the future. So it's not about depriving yourself, but certainly the work that we do with our clients isn't about saying, oh, you know, have no fun, put everything away for the future. It's really about being clear with what you want, making a plan, having a system in place so that you don't go off out of the lines and you don't get caught sort of unawares or where you put into an awkward position where you end up feeling, oh, God, I just have to go along with this because otherwise I'm going to be embarrassed.
But if you do have friends who are doing so much better than you and they know it and they keep inviting you out to these expensive places, what kind of friends are they really? They know you're not making as much money as they are.
You know, they might know or they might not really be thinking about it. Like I said before, there's so much unconsciousness around money that we don't often think about it. We don't think about it for ourselves. We're not really thinking about it for other people. We're just kind of going along doing what we think is kind of the right and fun thing to do in a lot of cases. So, you know, it may be that either those people are not your friends, really, as you say, or it may be that just a hard conversation needs to happen, an honest conversation needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you want to have that honest conversation rather than quitting the friendship. I would imagine that some people do that because they just feel, I can't do this, I can't keep up, and yet I don't want to talk about my personal financial situation with somebody that, you know, maybe an acquaintance more than a really close friend, but they were fun, and, you know, you can rationalize all of these things, or you can say, geez, I just can't do this.
Yeah, and I guess that's a choice, and I'm not suggesting that you have to have a big heart-to-heart with everyone that you encounter. It's really a matter of taking that step back and saying, you know, is this relationship important to me? Is it worth the what could be a challenging conversation? How am I going to have that conversation? So I think a lot of pre-planning is really important when you're encountering these kinds of considerations. It's giving it some thought beforehand, thinking about how you want to position the conversation and, you know, how much you want to share and how much you just also want to just say, this is what, you know, what my boundaries are. This is what my limits are. This is what I like. This is what I'd like to do. And this is how I would like us to engage together.
And you may have to consider finding new friends because they're going to keep inviting you out and you're going to keep coming up with these reasons why you can't. Even if they know the truth, they're going to stop associating with you.
It's likely that will happen at some point, but that's, it just may be that that's the natural course. I mean, when you think about the stages of life that we go through, you know, when you have kids, you may stop hanging out with your single friends. If you get interested in sailing and you're really an avid sailor, the people that you hang with that are not sailors, you know, they may naturally fall away. And I think the same thing happens when it comes to activities. We just look at it. These are activities that are not part of my circle any longer. And therefore, those relationships, unless they can progress or kind of evolve to something else, they may just fall away naturally.
Right. And you just don't want to be filled with debt when that happens, right?
Ideally not. Ideally not. Because then you don't have the friends and you don't have money.
So have you ever said to a friend, look, I can't afford it. I'd love to go, but I just don't have it.
I don't like the word I can't afford it. The reason that I would coach someone to use different terminology is that the whole money psychology, as far as how we feel about our, you know, ourselves and how we feel about our relationship to money, I think it's about turning it into a positive. I choose to put my money somewhere else. I'm saving up for a really big trip to Thailand, and I have an amount that I want to spend on going out and having fun. But, I have to be mindful of how much I spend there. So I think I can't afford it. You know, if you just even say those words, there's sort of this sense of, oh, I'm lesser than. And I think this is a powerful choice. It's a powerful decision. It's not one that should be shameful or that sense that I can't do it. If I can do something else, or I'd rather do something else.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know you're avoiding that word.
No, that's fine. Well, you know you are, and I kind of like that in a way, actually. I choose not to spend my money so frivolously. What do you think I am, a senator?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
And then we can leave it at that.
The other word that, you know, kind of comes to mind. mind in thinking about all of this is planning and budgeting, and a lot of people go, oh, God, I don't want to budget.
Right.
And I said, you know, let's change that terminology. And maybe ultimately it is budget, but I look at it as exercising the power of choice. And, the way that sort of resonates through my, you know, my being is very different than me saying, oh, I've got to restrict myself. And I do think that when we consider the way that we relate to money and a lot of this, you know, avoidance behavior and a lot of this shame behavior and this guilt behavior and that I can't have behavior is, doing things that I know I shouldn't be doing, like there's so much negativity around it. And it really can be turned around. And part of it is just the way we think about it and sure. Our attitude towards it.
Yeah, and the language we use.
Well, I know what's going to happen now. The next time I suggest to Carol we buy something, she's going to tell me we're saving to go to Thailand.
Well, sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. Karen, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Karen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Karen Mizgala, CEO of Money Coaches Canada.